Good morning. I'd like to call the March 19th, 2026 meeting of the San Diego County Water Authority Board of Directors to order at 9:09 a.m. Today's meeting is conducted in person with Director Quaylen participating remotely from the publicly accessible location included on the agenda. All votes, therefore, will be taken by roll call vote. As we move through our agenda, I will be moderating requests to speak. To request to speak, please press the speaker button at your seat. Director Scalzetti, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you, Director Scalzetti. Madam Deputy Clerk, will you please call the roll and announce whether a quorum is present?
Secretary Acosta?
Here.
Directors Flessy? Yes. Katz?
Here.
Paul?
Yes, present.
Coates Hedberg?
Here.
Scalzetti?
Here.
Vice Chair Hilliker? Absent. Directors Morrison? Absent. Director Sanchez is absent. Director Myers?
Present.
Rivera?
Present.
Roback is absent. Quaylen is currently absent. Directors Williams? Heidemann?
Here.
Norman?
Here.
Wall?
Here.
Abdullahi? Absent. Ayala?
Here.
Buckowitz?
Here.
Douglas?
Here.
Fong Sakai? Absent. Macedo?
Present.
Madaffer?
Present.
Molina?
Here.
Serrano?
Here.
Chair Serrano? Director Whitburn? Supervisor Desmond? Director Lines?
Here.
Freehoff?
Here.
Castaneda?
Here.
Kirschbaum?
Here.
Arant?
Here.
Miller?
Here.
And Ray? We have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Kirk. Do we have any proxies today?
We have two proxies. Director Arant is the proxy for Director Sanchez, and Director Rivera is the proxy for Director Roback.
Noted. Item four is public comment. This is an opportunity for members of the public to address the Board of Directors on items of interest within the subject matter of this Board of Directors. Madam Deputy Clerk, do we have any members of the public wishing to speak?
Yes, this is the time for public comment on items on the formal board agenda or on matters within the board jurisdiction. We have nine speaker slips. The first speaker with the last name Ferrer, you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Rhonda Farrar, and I'm the president and founder of the Friends of Lake Hodges. Our mission is to support government efforts to improve Lake Hodges dam safety, capacity, water quality, wildlife habitat, and public access for the benefit of the community. I'm also a proud graduate of the Water Academy of 2023. I'm speaking to you on behalf of the Friends of Lake Hodges, the Rancho Bernardo Community Council, the Friends of San Diego Lake, RaiseLakeHodges.org, and North County Climate Alliance. We respectfully ask the board to reconsider your position on funding the Lake Hodges Dam replacement. For over 100 years, Lake Hodges has been a crown jewel in North County, a vital drinking water reservoir, a critical habitat for wildlife, a recreational haven for hikers, bike, birders, fishermen, and paddlers. But the dam that makes this lake possible is currently unsafe and in danger of failing. This isn't a future problem. This is a current crisis. The existing dam is 108 years old and deemed unsatisfactory by the DSOD. It is in the worst shape of all the dams in the state of California. When you withdrew your cost share commitment for replacing the dam, you cited your duty to keep the water rates low for your water customers. We respect that. We understand the fiscal reality that you face. Ratepayers are already protesting the increase in water rates based on the Water Authority's current commitments. But we ask you to look beyond the long, look at the long-term picture for your customers and the value of the assets that you already own. The Water Authority has already invested $208 million in the pump station connecting Lake Hodges to a Liebenheim Reservoir. Right now, because the lake level is so low, the station is sitting idle, costing ratepayers $3 million a year in lost revenue. You are losing money on an asset that was designed to generate power, a sustainable green power to 26,000 homes. And we are all paying for the infrastructure that we cannot use. Lake Hodges has the largest watershed in San Diego. 1 inch of rain can raise the lake level an entire foot. Rainwater is the least expensive source of water in the region, and the new dam is expected to last over 100 years. Losing the ability to capture rainwater and make it available to the entire region would be extremely short-sighted for our coastal desert region. Your estimated share of the cost of replacing the dam spread over the 100-year life is $2.5 million a year, which is less than the value of the electricity that we could be generating with the pump storage facility. But this isn't just about dollars and cents, it's about public safety. If the dam fails, it won't just be a financial loss, it will flood Rancho Santa Fe, Santa Rita River Valley, and threaten Del Mar. A new dam is an absolute necessity. Furthermore, the low level of the water has exposed 500 acres of lake bed. The lake bed has turned into a tinderbox of invasive grasses. We are willing to sit down, we are sitting in a proven fire corridor, the path of the Witch Creek and Cocos fires. A fire here would cost billions of dollars and destroy thousands of homes. We know the city of San Diego.
Thank you. Your time is up.
Oh, my.
Oh, shoot.
I have. Are you all right? No worries, please.
Thank you. Your time is up.
I just have another 30 seconds, and my colleague who has exceeded time will be happy to continue this, or if you could let me finish my last 30 seconds, I'd be grateful. We are asking you to recommit to this project. We're asking you to work with the city, the downstream water district, state and federal representatives and agencies, and with us to find a path forward that puts the pump storage facility back in operation. The Water Authority owns half the water in that reservoir. You own the pumping station next door. You are a partner in this region, not just a bystander. The decisions you make in the coming months will echo for generations. We cannot allow paralysis and short-term budget concerns to condemn our communities to an unacceptable risk of wildfire, water waste, and potential dam failure. The time to replace Lake Hodges is now. For every month we wait, construction costs rise and the risk of catastrophic failure increases. We are gambling with a critical piece of infrastructure. On behalf of the thousands who live, work, and play around Lake Hodges, I urge you to reconsider your position and work with all of us to get this done. Thank you, and thank you for your consideration.
Next is Speaker Modi. And following that will be Speaker Caldwell.
I am also with the Friends of Lake Hodges, and I cede my time. Rhonda Farrar has said everything that our group is going to present. Thank you.
Speaker Caldwell.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Speaker Bernstein.
I'm Dr. Paul Bernstein, and I represent RaiseLakeHodges.org. And there's over 80,000 San Diegans that basically support our position. And what we're all about is a no-cost, that's right, a no-cost, common-sense solution to Lake Hodges Dam. So let me be clear. We support Friends of Lake Hodges. We want a new dam, but the new dam, even in the best-case scenario, is not going to happen, as you all know, until at least 2034. In the meantime, keeping Lake Hodges at roughly 16% capacity is what we're doing now. 16% has created what CAL FIRE maps show as the highest fire risk in all of San Diego County. Hundreds of acres of exposed lake bed and dense brush, which historically were underwater and created a natural fire break, make now a continuous tinderbox. If ignition occurs during a Santa Ana wind, this fire could burn through Ramona to Del Dios to Rancho Santa Fe, all the way to Del Mar, potentially impacting 10,000 homes and billions of dollars of property damage. We've seen this before. We saw it in the Palisades, only this could be worse. The California Division of Safety of Dams has created a bigger risk than Los Angeles. Not only is the Lake Hodges Reservoir at historically low levels, but now there are hundreds and hundreds of acres of exposed brush that could really burn. Let's look at the probabilities. The chance of a major earthquake of 7 or greater creating a total dam failure is less than 0.1% per the US Geologic Survey. The chance of a wildfire in this area per CAL FIRE is closer to 10%. The probability of a major wildfire is then, you know, basically orders of magnitude greater than a dam failure. Yet current policy focuses completely on the downstream dam failure without weighing the upstream fire and wildlife consequences. The safest interim solution is to raise Lake Hodges just 15 feet, not as high as the ceiling, and still 20 feet below the top of the dam. The natural fire break is a no-cost solution. Just don't continue to drain the rain. Now, by the way, we can't just cut down the exposed weeds as it's a protected area and there's 26 endangered wildlife. So we respectfully request that you all support a risk survey to look at the upstream and downstream consequences of keeping the lake low. 80,000 San Diegans basically support this common sense, no cost solution. So we hope you all can help save our homes and raise Lake Hodges.
Thank you. Your time is up.
Thank you.
Speaker Anshish.
Good morning. Are you hearing me? All right. Good morning, Chair, board members, and staff. My name is John Anshus. I'm representing RaiseLakeHodges.org as well. We're calling for the no-cost, common-sense interim solution that you just heard parts of. We fully support the Friends of Lake Hodges.org, Friends of Lake Hodges and their work toward a new dam. But with completion of not expected till into the 2030s, we must ask what happens in the meantime. Right now, Lake Hodges is held at 280 feet above sea level, and the San Dieguito River Valley is paying the price. This artificially low level prevents a functional connection with the Olivenhane Reservoir, which undercuts regional water management goals and flood risks strategies. Lake Hodges is more than a reservoir. It's a wildlife corridor, a wetland ecosystem, recreational asset, and an essential fire buffer. The ecological damage is already visible. The western grebes, known for their graceful mating pairs that run side by side across the top of the water, have nearly vanished. Their nesting population, once abundant, has declined to almost zero. If trend continues, they may disappear completely from Lake Hodges thereafter. Exposed lake beds are drying out, native vegetation is shifting, and entire habitats are collapsing, all because we're keeping the water at artificially low levels while long-term funding is pursued. Meanwhile, the city and county have invested, as you've heard, over $200 million in the Hodges Pump Storage Facility and Hydroelectric Plant, which allows rapid transfer of storm water to the Olivenhane Reservoir if we have a atmospheric river. This reduces downstream flood risk and preserves regional water supply. Ironically, this higher lake level actually improves operational flexibility during rain events. The prudent path forward is simple. Raise Lake Hodges to 295 feet above sea level, still 25 feet below the dam crest while continuing long-term dam planning. This balanced approach enhances fire safety, ecological preservation, and water supply resilience at no cost. Thank you for your leadership, attention, and commitment to Lake Hodges, one of San Diego's most vital natural and engineered resources.
Thank you. Speaker Hood is next, followed by Speaker Dudley.
Goodness. Good morning. I agree with the prior speakers. I'm Joe Hood, president of North County Climate Change Alliance and a graduate of the Water Authority's Citizen Academy in 2023. Our planet has entered global water bankruptcy. From the Global Bankruptcy Report by the United Nations University, 2026. Billions remain water insecure. Surface waters are shrinking. Wetlands have been liquidated on a continental scale. Groundwater depletion and land subsidence are widespread and often irreversible. Cryosphere loss is liquidating critical water savings. agricultural heartlands are running down their water capital. Land and soil degradation are amplifying water-related risks. Drought is increasingly anthropogenic and extremely costly. Water quality degradation is shrinking the truly usable resource space. The planetary freshwater boundary has been transgressed, and existing governance and agendas are no longer fit for purpose. Besides that, we have some water problems. Dams on the Colorado River may reach power deadpool this year or next. Reports say the Colorado River may deliver 2.3 million acre feet this year out of a committed 16.5 million acre feet. 2.3 out of 16.5. The San Diego gets most of its water from the Colorado River. What's our response to a deepening drought? Arizona and many other locations in the Southwest have severe water pressures. We may need to evacuate Corpus Christi, Texas. Evacuate because they don't have water. Should we help them by using less river water? Surely the economics can be worked out. We've had several atmospheric rivers drop, quote, free precious water that we let flow into the ocean, despite or because we've not replaced a dam that is long past its use-by date. And you want to vote against replacing it? In a global sense, in a national sense, in a California sense, it makes no sense. Lake Hodges Dam must be replaced. Please act now for our community and our planet.
Speaker Dudley, followed by Speaker Brown.
Good morning, I'm Robert Dudley. I represent the Friends of Lake Hodges and also the RaiseLakeHodges.org. I'm concerned about fire, and I really want to compliment the previous speakers that I advocate that the San Diego County Water Authority continue its commitment to the emergency storage project and renew the repair of the pipeline between Lake Hodges and Liebenheim. I think that's an important thing for locally sourced water. It breaks our heart to see the water being let go to the ocean. So I'm hoping that the Water Authority, using its legislative power, will go to the state and ask for a temporary relaxation of the 280-foot limitation. It really should be somewhere in between that and the 295 level, which would make the pump storage station operational. So begin the repairs, please, and then commit to the emergency storage project and to locally sourced water. I think it would go a long way. So I thank you for your time.
Good morning. I think I'm next. My name is Courtney Brown. I'm a staff attorney with San Diego Coastkeeper. And I think I'm the only person here this morning that is not speaking about Lake Hodges Dam. Although I do really appreciate all of the comments I've heard earlier from other speakers. But I would have liked to comment solely on the substance of item 7A today. But instead, I want to address some procedural concerns. Mainly, one concern is the order of public comment. And I think others from my organization have expressed this before, and I'm going to say the same thing again. But the fact that public comment is placed before staff presentation is concerning. In most forums, comments come after a presentation, so the public can respond to what's actually presented. While we can review the supplemental materials attached to the agenda, often those supplemental materials are released less than 24 hours in advance and contain hundreds of pages of extremely dense material. This is a massive barrier to entry for meaningful public participation. And you know, with this in mind, we ask you to please consider restructuring meetings so the public can hear staff presentations before providing comment. Now, regarding 7A, I do want to say that Coastkeeper supports all efforts and appreciates all efforts to sell Waters, but we would like to know how these proceeds are being allocated. We, San Diego Coastkeepers, supports the maximum amount possible going towards rate suppression, and we would appreciate that during the staff commentary. Thank you.
Last speaker, Speaker Cannon.
So I'm just a citizen, but so I'm here to speak about Lake Hodges. I guess for me, you know, we just live in a desert climate and we're not capturing every bit of water that we get in this climate. And like some of the other speakers spoke about, it seems like we're getting less and less rainfall, and like Lake Powell is going dry. It's going to be Deadpool. And the areas that we live in, this climate's desert. So living in this climate, I think we need to capture everything that we can. I think it really just improves the community because we have more water for the area. Maybe it does keep down water prices. Why are we buying so much water? We can actually capture it here when we get the water, when we get the rain. Last time I checked, the ocean is not getting low. I think we should capture every bit of water that we're actually getting, every bit of rainfall that we're getting, because it's just such a dry climate. So I just really hope that you guys, you know, we spent all this money in the transfer station to try to, you know, generate power and electricity, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. And if we just let the dam go, what was all that money for? Why did we spend all that money just to watch the lake go away and turn into a riverbed? So I'm not with any organization or affiliation, but I just see how all the lakes in Southern California are getting lower and lower. And when we're in a crisis and needing water, and they're like, well, where are we going to get our water from? Well, maybe we can get it from San Vicente because we're buying that water from the aqueduct, I guess, or whatever. But it doesn't seem smart to me. It seems like we should have watershed areas all over, and this is established for over 100 years. Why not fix it? Why not make it a viable location to be a reservoir, be a good water source for everybody? So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. That's all our in-house speakers. If there are speakers in the Zoom waiting room, please raise your hand through the Zoom app or press *9 if listening by phone. I see no further speakers.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Clerk. I want to thank all of the members of the public who joined us this morning to provide their comments to the Board of Directors. Trust me when I say that we all consider your feedback as we move forward on all of the items mentioned. Again, thank you for taking the time to be here. Item 5 is our additions to the agenda. Madam Deputy Clerk, do we have any additions to today's agenda?
There are no additions.
Thank you. That brings us to item 6. We have one closed session item on this morning's agenda. General Counsel Edwards, will you please take us into closed session?
We will now adjourn into closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8. We have emerged from closed session and have nothing to report.
All right. We will now take up item 7, which is our action discussion and information items. Item 7A is recommending the ratification of an exchange water delivery agreement between the San Diego County Water Authority and the Western Municipal Water District. I will now turn the floor over to our general manager.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you all for being here, members of the public and some of our guests who we're going to have an opportunity to hear from in a little bit. The path to today was not quick, and it was not easy, and it was not without challenges. But I think that it does represent a continued evolution of this region and this board that has always embraced an entrepreneurial spirit towards water supply development and making tough decisions that allow the staff to feel empowered. The staff takes confidence in this governing body and being able to go out and do things that are entrepreneurial, that are cutting edge, that are groundbreaking. So thank you to this board for even allowing us to get to this point. Let's go to the first slide, because there's always a timeline that doesn't ever do justice to the true story of what's really happening. But I think that you all do know our story. And I think that water agencies across the West know our story. We have been at the cutting edge of water supply innovation for many years, first through an environmentally conscious water conservation agreement with the Imperial Valley. We, of course, doubled down on that with the Carlsbad desal plant, and we're going to continue to double down locally and be able to support our own local water supply development within the Water Authority family through coordination with our member agencies. The tap works, the infrastructure works, and I think that the long-term planning has afforded our way of life and supported our economy here in San Diego. You may have heard of a dispute that we were once in within the MWD family. That dispute permeated mines and water policy throughout the Southwest. That dispute stunned the growth of this agency, arguably stunned the growth of Southern California. And it strained our relationships. Over the past 3 years, we all in this room and even our colleagues in this room have done a great deal of work to repair those relationships and build them into something different, something that's going to sustain Southern California and the Southwest as we all use the Colorado River and the State Water Project. What I'm about to present to you is largely the byproduct of that different relationship. 8 months ago, we settled our disputes with Metropolitan, and together we built a framework of success for a water transfer market, the creation of a water transfer market within the Met family. And that's what this is all about. Next slide, please. So we set up a process through the settlement agreement where the Water Authority has the ability to take some portion, 50,000 acre feet worth of its water, conserved water from the QSA and offer it up to a Metropolitan member agency if available. Right now, our supplies exactly equal our demands. Moving forward, however, as local water supply development continues to come online through the hard work of our member agencies, we anticipate having additional water. And that's not going to be a sacrifice of water to this region. We're going to be able to exchange water within the Met family with no harm to our folks here locally. I sent out a letter in September trying to gauge interest from folks as to whether or not they were interested. Many meetings occurred, more than 20, I would say. And we got to the point where agencies expressed their interests. We had formal discussions with them. Before you today is Western Municipal Water District, who is the first out of the gate, the first partnership, the first spinoff of the agreement that we have through the settlement agreement with the Metropolitan Water District. We've been actively working with them since October, and today we're going to put before you a action to approve a long-term exchange agreement with Western. Next slide, please. Let me tell you a little bit about them. They serve a population of nearly 1 million residents in Riverside County. Retail, water, sewer, and recycled services. They are part of the Met family, of course, a Met member agency. They're a wholesaler to 14 other agencies, retail agencies in their service area. Much like the Water Authority, they're looking to diversify their resource mix. They already have a diversified resource mix. And just like we have a handful of colors on our pie charts, they're looking to add one to their pie chart. And I think that this is going to be groundbreaking for them as much as it is for us with developing new supply with no new infrastructure, which I can't emphasize enough. I think that this is a cost-effective solution to dry year water opportunities, and those dry year water opportunities are right in front of us. Next slide, please. I want to explain what I think is a pretty basic framework. We'll see how I do. Go ahead and click through all of the graphics here. But the basic framework is that conserved water that we make available through the QSA finds its way into the Metropolitan distribution system. It's then exchanged for a like quantity and quality of MWD water. So the MWD water comes from many sources. It comes from the State Water Project. It comes from the Colorado River. It's local storage, et cetera. That resource mix is exchanged and the water is delivered to San Diego. We have the ability through the exchange agreement to determine the demand, the deliveries based on our own demand profile. That's something new from the settlement agreement that's been very beneficial and helpful to our region. Instead of getting all of the water in equal amounts over a 12-year period, we have the ability to get it when we need it most. What I just described is essentially what gets extended to Western. As the water makes its way down through the aqueduct, instead of continuing downhill, it makes a right or left turn. It's no more simple than that. In exchange for that right or left turn, Western becomes part of the exchange with the Water Authority, and the deal happens. Next slide, please. In terms of just the themes that we set forth based on this board's priorities, all the agencies that I spoke with over the past several months, what came out of my mouth a lot was durability. And durability is very important in this, and Western understood that. That's evidenced by the fact that they were willing to be long-term partners with us out through 2047 and hopefully beyond that when we extend the transfer agreement with the Imperial Irrigation District out to 2077. In the end, what we were really attempting to do with this new framework was balance the delta between our contract supplies and flat demands. We all know what's happening in Southern California. We are not unique. Population has slowed in many areas. Two consecutive wet years built up storage. Southern California is sitting on millions of acre feet worth of storage at this point. And not necessarily the sales that's going to empty the reservoirs. We're all dealing with this dilemma. And this Western agreement helps us rebalance that resource mix. It also helps balance the sales variability and fixed cost contracts that we have here at the Water Authority. Anything that we can do to reduce those costs, pay those fixed contracts by exchanging water, getting water off our books, is what I like to say, is going to benefit ratepayers across the county, not just with this agreement with Western, but with agreements that we hope to ink with other partners in the long term. Next slide, please. So I just want to go over some of the key terms. We're initially talking about 10,000 acre feet a year for 21 years through 2047. The price point that we developed, that we negotiated together, is $1,350 an acre foot. What this means to the Water Authority is a net present value revenue of $13.5 million a year, which is supplemented by upfront payment of $39 million from Western for an advance of 30,000 acre feet worth of water. Western has the ability and has the ability to add on to that 10,000 acre feet worth of water that we're asking them to contract to. When we go through this process next year in 2027, if we have available supplies, Western has the ability to get first dibs at some of that water on a go-forward basis, in addition to other member agencies. They do have the ability to automatically extend this post 2047, and I believe that this is going to prove to be a great great partnership, and I think that's where we'll land. The last bullet point here, assurance to buy remaining water if offered by the Water Authority. What we're talking about is this is 10,000 acre feet now. We hope to have other partners within the Met family become part of this. And really what we're talking about is the balance of the 50,000 acre feet worth of water that we have through the settlement agreement with Metropolitan. Next slide, please. A tiny bit repetitive, but nonetheless, the $13.5 million is worth referencing again as it relates to rates. The net present value of $330 million over the term of the agreement and $100 million in the first 5 years of the agreement. It builds flexibility. It provides us the flexibility that we need right now. You've all heard of the contract supplies that we have through the quantification settlement agreement and the desal plant. The desal plant is not at full capacity right now. it will be in the future, but right now our demands don't necessitate it. And when new supply comes online through our member agencies, we have lost sales, and there's no easier way to put that. The deal with Western helps mitigate that for the Water Authority, and I hope gets us back to, I'm confident that it will get us back to a smooth and predictable rate cycle on a go-forward basis. Next slide, please. So just in terms of the regional benefits, of course, it maximizes our existing assets and secures a long-term partnership with a MET member agency. I can't stress that enough. Within the MET family, it's become very apparent that a mindset has changed amongst general managers, amongst board members. I would like to think that that's due to partially due to the settlement agreement with the Water Authority. But I think that the world is changing so fast that we're all having to do things differently and view the world through a different lens. And that lens is not a zero-sum game for someone when negotiating long-term transfer agreements or even just developing policy. Western secures long-term reliability, the same type of reliability that the Water Authority has through the quantification settlement agreement with its high priority access to water in the Imperial and Coachella Valleys. Yes, the river is in a dire situation, but this again is high priority conserved Colorado River water. Western has agreed if there are ever cuts that ever hit the Imperial Valley, ever hit that water supply, they will take their pro rata share of those reductions alongside the Water Authority. And that's all encapsulated in the agreement that we have. I think what this does for Metropolitan is it allows Metropolitan to continue to invest in local water supply development within the region. It frees up, if you will, to put it very simply, 10,000 acre feet worth of water. If Metropolitan is cut in some form, has to have a water supply allocation, this is water that does not have to be allocated. It's a very important tool for Metropolitan as it is for Western and the Water Authority. Additionally, Metropolitan will continue to receive transportation revenue from this agreement. It will come at the same rate that was negotiated as part of the settlement agreement with the Water Authority. I just think in general, it supports the long-term regional planning and drought resilience efforts across two counties in Riverside and in San Diego. I wanted to take this opportunity to ask Western, next slide, please. General Manager Craig Miller and President Laura Rutten, if you like to make some comments about the proposed agreement.
That was a great presentation. Chair Serrano, Board of Directors, General Manager Denham, thank you for having us here. It was great seeing you yesterday at our board meeting. We really appreciate you coming down. This is, it's a great agreement, but I think as Dan's talking about, it's a shift in the way that we plan water resources. And, you know, I want to make sure that I acknowledge Chair Ortega behind me and Board Member Camacho and Shivaji Deshmukh, the General Manager. I don't know how to talk to them when they're behind me. But, you know, I do want to emphasize the value of ending the litigation. You know, as a MET member agency, you know, we've been sitting and watching this for years and years and years. And it's like, it's tying our hands in what we can do as a MET family. And we need to get out of that. And so the leadership of this board and the leadership of Chair Ortega and the MET board really opened the door to more sophisticated water resources planning. So that was a really important element of this agreement. This agreement would not have happened without that, but there's more. Chair Ortega organized the MET member agencies to come together in a closed door environment with the general managers, not with the board, the general managers, to really evaluate MET's business model. An important thing that came out of that was that the general managers, like myself, wanted to be able to exchange resources. That was not allowed. And so Metropolitan and their leadership being open to member agency sharing was fundamental to opening the door for this agreement. So I can't be here without acknowledging both boards, because it wouldn't have happened. We all know how expensive it is to build infrastructure, big CIP infrastructure. So it's such a great opportunity to be able to share water supply without investing billions of dollars in redundant infrastructure. And that's what this agreement is. This is fully utilizing a secured water source to the benefit of Southern California. Who got the drops? You know, it doesn't matter for Southern California, just as long as someone gets the drops. If we're going to make these investments and pay this money, the water has to be fully utilized. And that's what we're doing with this agreement and collaboration. You know, this is where the future of water is in California. Future of water in the West. Look at all the problems we're having on coming up with a solution on the Colorado River. This is a model for that collaboration and partnership. We're going to continue to build on this. For Western, we've had a long drive to diversify our portfolio. This is 10,000 acre feet every year of diversification for that portfolio. Just as important to us is flexibility in our long-term water supply resiliency. So that 30,000 acre feet of one-time purchase that we can determine the delivery schedule on is perfect for our goals to develop a pot of water for long-term resiliency. We are the fastest growing region in the state of California, Riverside County. We're one of the fastest growing regions in the country. So you hear a lot of talk in California about growth isn't happening. Well, we have an enormous business expansion and growth and economic development that's happening in Riverside County. And so being able to share these resources to meet our goals is really, really important. I want to thank the staff, Dan, your leadership has been great. Your council's leadership, our partners sitting next to me, great. My team sitting back here wouldn't have happened without a creative staffing environment. For you board members, one of the things that my staff would tell me in the hallway, those are the good conversations, right? What happens in the hallway before the meeting? My staff comes to me and says, San Diego's been fabulous to work with, and we're going to figure this out. And, you know, as a general manager, that's just the most rewarding thing ever. And we got there. So just to wrap up, you know, I want to thank my staff, your staff, the creativity of both boards to allow something like this to happen. You know, this is a real success in partnership. I hope it serves as a pathway and a model. This opportunity is going to be available for other member agencies, as Dan was talking about. And I just hope that our success with you is going to be a model for everyone else to follow. So thank you very much.
Good morning. And I do want to emphasize, it is a good morning. So I am Laura Roten, board president for the Western Municipal Water District. And I want to thank General Manager Dan Denneman, Chair Serrano, and the members of this board for the opportunity to be here today. At Western Municipal Water District, we serve nearly 1 million residents, as you heard on an earlier slide, in Western Riverside County. And our responsibility is to plan ahead so our communities can rely on safe, dependable water every single day. This agreement is the result of long-term planning, which allows us to strengthen our water supply portfolio, diversify our resources, and helps ensure we can continue to meet the needs of our communities. What makes this especially meaningful is that it builds on existing investments. Rather than pursuing entirely new supply projects, this partnership allows us to take advantage of reliable water that is already available, making it a thoughtful and cost-effective approach for our customers. I want to recognize the teams that made this possible. Agreements like these require a tremendous amount of coordination and commitment, and we appreciate the incredible work from both agencies. I'd also like to acknowledge the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California with appreciation for Metropolitan's leadership in creating opportunities for innovative regional collaboration, including partnerships like this one that strengthen water supply reliability. You may have noticed a theme running through today's remarks, and you'll probably still hear it even after I speak. Partners and partnerships. According to Google, you know, the source, key qualities of partners include shared goals, trust, and complementary skills, offering benefits like increased resources, shared risk, and diverse expertise. This agreement and the process to get here today exemplify these key qualities. We're proud to partner with the San Diego County Water Authority and look forward to continuing our work together into the future. Thank you.
I'd like to ask the Met leadership team there in the front row, Chair Ortega or GM Savaji Deshmukh.
Chair Serrano and General Manager Dan Denham, it's a great pleasure to be here to enjoy the fruits of many, many years of planning and partnership and trust building. As you indicated, Mr. General Manager, the first ripple was the settlement agreement last year. This is the second ripple benefit of this partnership and creativity. The third ripple, I think, is about to happen with the conclusion, hopefully sooner than later, of an MOU that would authorize interstate transfers. So this basic concept of greater regionalism, as the chairman likes to say, Chairman Serrano, is part of the solution to the crises that we're going to start facing as early this summer, as Vice Chair of the Colorado River Board, Jim Madaffer, has been telling us. It's been my belief through my entire term as chair that the general managers, I want to pay tribute to them, play the role of our agency's founders. Our agencies were founded by the Chambers of Commerce, who recognized the need for more water as a way to drive growth as our regions sought to prosper. In the modern age, the Chambers of Commerce have kind of lost interest. They're, you know, they've got a lot of other priorities. And the people that are in the best position to understand that nexus between the forces in society and our need to provide water supply are the general managers. They're the ones that are interacting on a day-to-day basis with housing groups and environmental groups and consumers that need to trust water. So I've placed a great deal of trust in them by creating the task force that Mr. Miller indicated that I did, in order to bring us the business model components that are necessary for this new phase that we're in. So since the 1970s, we've been very aware of the environmental impacts and the sensitivities that we have. The pioneers in this movement, similar to the who William Mulholland was, I mean, remember William Mulholland, he was not educated in engineering. He was not well-resourced in the way that we later became. You know, he was a person who had a knack for understanding what it would require to transport water a long distance. I would suggest that the environmental community has filled that role in modern times as we've had to face the realities of climate change. And where we're at now is we need to bring it home. I think that our agencies are the most well-resourced. Our professionals are the best educated, the most credentialed, and have the resources that we provide them to take us into the future. So with that, I want to thank the general managers. I want to thank your board for empowering your staff. I want to thank your general manager in particular for giving so much of his time as a member of our board of directors. And then I also want to recognize Mel Katz, who was the chairman of this board during the early part of my chairmanship, who very diligently and consciously involved our chairman today, Nick Serrano, on every step that we were taking to build confidence as we were putting aside past controversies and issues to get us to this point. So I want to thank you. And I also want to note that it's by osmosis, I don't think it was by design, that our general manager at Metropolitan is a former member agency manager. So I don't think I ever pitched that to the board, but it came out through osmosis, and I'm grateful. And I think we all have the future is in good hands with our leadership. And Shivaji, would you like to make a few comments? Thanks.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Serrano, members of the board. It's always so nice to be in San Diego. You hear that a lot. Today is even better. This is my first opportunity to be able to address your board. So for that, I'm extremely grateful. And it's extra special to be able to do that as we celebrate this milestone. I'll keep it brief this morning. I want to just express my appreciation to Chair Ortega and Chair Serrano and our respective boards for not only settling this longstanding litigation last year, but also being able to pivot and develop a framework that appropriately views water management without the constraints of political boundaries. This is how water should be managed. And this is an amazing first step. I'm so grateful to be part of an organization, especially onboarding with a new job, being set up for success like this. So as Chair mentioned, this is just the start. We look forward to other ways to partner not only with the County Water Authority, but with our member agencies, to not just look within the metropolitan service area, but to look at our entire Colorado River Basin watershed as an opportunity. And so we're very close to finalizing some great concepts related to intrastate transfers. And for that, I'm extremely grateful. I also want to just point out on a more personal note, it's fitting that this partnership is being kicked off between Western Municipal Water District or Western Water and the San Diego County Water Authority. At the staff level, these agencies are represented by two general managers who not only look out for the interests of the service areas they support, but think regionally. And both of them have had a tremendous impact, not only on statewide water resources, but throughout the Colorado River. So I want to extend a special appreciation to General Manager Craig Miller and General Manager Dan Denham for their leadership over the past few years. With that, I just want to say thank you and congratulations.
Thank you, Savaji and Adan. Let's go to the next slide. So this is the staff recommendation to ratify an exchange water delivery agreement between the San Diego County Water Authority and the Western Municipal Water District. This is up for the board's consideration. I would pass it to Chair Serrano.
Thank you, Mr. General Manager. In closing this presentation, I do want to thank our partners at MET who are here today. I think it is important. I think it's significant. I think it's a good signal for the future of water. I also want to thank our colleagues and I think soon to be partners at Western for being here as well. Colleagues, to close this item, I want to invite us to take stock of this moment and reflect on what it represents. Because what we are considering this morning is much more than just a contract or an agreement. For one, it's a concept that has been thought of, discussed, perhaps even dreamed about for years. And yet for so long, it was deemed too hard, too complicated, too complex, and therefore unthinkable, impossible. For two, it's the culmination of a great deal of work, a great deal of intention, and I would submit to you a great deal of change. But most of all, it is a historic step, not just forward, but I believe in a new direction for this agency and for our Southern California region. A direction rooted in partnership, in collaboration. In every sense, as you've heard, this moment was made possible by our settlement with the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California just 8 months ago. And I think it's important to say that very clearly, because that decision was significant, not simply because it resolved a dispute that had gone on for too long. It was significant because it represented a choice to move beyond division, conflict, and looking backward, a choice to turn the page together and begin a new chapter, a choice to begin building something different, something more constructive, something more collaborative, something that recognizes that the water challenges facing all of us are simply too great to keep fighting yesterday's battles. And this agreement is one of the first real demonstrations of what that new chapter can look like. It is a first of its kind partnership that leverages the investment San Diego County ratepayers made over decades. Those investments were made to ensure that our region would be resilient, to ensure that we would have safe and reliable water, to ensure that San Diego County would not again find itself vulnerable. And today, because of those investments, because of the system we built, and because of the flexibility that system now provides, we have the opportunity to put those investments to work in a way that benefits our ratepayers, supports regional resilience, and helps address broader challenges facing Southern California and the Colorado River, showing that San Diego can lead not only by preparing for itself, but by extending its hand in partnership to others in a moment when that partnership is needed. And that, to me, is what makes this item so important, because ultimately it reflects a new model, a model where agencies do not always have to start by building something new, a model where we ask how we can better utilize existing infrastructure, existing supplies, and existing investments to strengthen reliability for more people, a model where collaboration is not just rhetoric, but action. I have said repeatedly since becoming chair that we do need a new notion of regionalism in water, one not confined by county lines, one that does not cling to old fights, one that acknowledges a simple truth. We have far more in common than what divides us. We share the same pressures. We share the same responsibilities. And increasingly, we share the same future. This agreement reflects that mindset. We succeed or we fail together. For San Diego County, this agreement helps ensure that the investments our residents made continue to deliver value. For Western, it strengthens long-term supply planning and drought resilience. And for the broader region, it sends an important message that in a moment of real pressure on the Colorado River and real challenge across the West, agencies here in Southern California can still come together, work together, and lead together. Because the future of water in Southern California will not be secured by any one agency acting alone. It will be secured by our willingness to collaborate, to innovate, and to recognize that our futures are shared. And if we continue to approach the challenges ahead in that same spirit, then I'm confident of this. What was once called impossible can become our new model. What was once unthinkable can become the standard for how we lead and meet our mission. And the future of water in Southern California will not be defined by scarcity or division. It will be defined by partnership. We owe a tremendous amount of thanks to our general manager, Dan Denham, our director of imported water, Mina Westford and Alex Heidi, and her entire imported water team, our general counsel and Michael McDonald, who I see here in the room with us, our finance team, Pierce sitting in the front row, and I see Lisa Marie Harris in the back, everyone in this room from the San Diego County Water Authority who made this a priority and has been working all hours towards this day. I want to extend the same gratitude to their counterparts at Western and Metropolitan, some who, as you know, are here today and some perhaps who are not. This is a historic moment. Not easy, not simple, but meaningful. And I think particularly to the ratepayer and what becomes possible when institutions are willing to challenge what has always been and ask what can be. And I would submit to you that this is exactly the kind of leadership that this moment demands. With that, I am proud to move the item, and I respectfully request your yes vote. I will turn it now to Vice Chair Hilliker.
Thank you very much, Chair Serrano. Yes, this is a new dawn in the age of water in San Diego. You know, we are known for being on the cutting edge, and obviously this is on the cutting edge. And we're known, it's really interesting. We go back to DC, we talk with the Department of Interior, we'll talk with some of the higher up staffers, and they'll go, yeah, San Diego, you guys are doing it right. We need more people to think like you do. But Chair Serrano said everything else that's needed to be said, so therefore I second the motion.
Thank you, Vice Chair Hilliker. There is a motion by myself, a second from Vice Chair Hilliker. We'll go now to Secretary Acosta.
Is the right microphone? Okay, great. Thank you. I feel like so much of what I want to say has already been said so eloquently by our chair, and again by our vice chair. I know that out in the public, there are a lot of questions about what we're doing when we talk about rates, when we talk about affordability, and we've been telling them great things are happening. And I hope that this is proof that this is a real public showing of how we have made changes, how we have overcome some of our issues in the past that dominated, like our relationship with Met, which is in a brand new chapter. And we're so excited. So thank you all to your leadership for being here. Thank you to Western for knowing a great deal when you see it and for your comments as well. And especially a big thank you to our staff led by Dan Denham for their creativity, for, as he said, their entrepreneurial spirit. All of you have been so creative and so thoughtful and really pushed us forward. I know that it took a ton of work, that it was not easy. And here we are in a place where we're going to move forward with something very exciting and really set the tone for a new era. So I just want to thank you all for your hard work and partnership, and I'm happy to support this. Thanks.
Thank you, Secretary Acosta. Director Madaffer.
I just want to make a couple of comments, and that's what we're witnessing today is how water should be managed in the West. Today's action sets a new standard. It demonstrates leadership in the lower basin that is very serious in managing the very strained Colorado River. You know, from our partners and farmers in the Imperial Valley to Metropolitan to its member agencies, and the partnership we share with Palo Verde, Coachella, and the tribal water contractors, this is a new beginning. I almost would refer to today's action as QSA Part 2. Beyond today's action, and totally separate, is what we heard from Chair Ortega. And that is a new beginning where we look to this MOU, not part of today's discussion, but it doesn't go without being mentioned. And it's not about moving QSA water, but in this case, rather new water from the Pacific Ocean that would move desalinated water to Arizona, Nevada. Today marks a historic change for water in the West. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Madaffer. Director Abdullahi.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity to speak. And I'll be remiss if I did not mention this. I honestly want to just take a moment to also thank the leadership. I may trip over my own 2 feet, but I will not trip over my words when I say this, that this definitely is historic, is groundbreaking, it is strategic, it is future forward looking. And I think one of the things that always comes to my mind, change happens at the speed of trust. You can tell that relationships have been built, trust is there. And this it took a while to get here. And now that we are able to look at this delivery agreement and look to the leadership here at the Water Authority, as well as the leadership at Western and Metropolitan, this is a breakthrough moment that really shows that this region is serious about the relationships and the trust that it's building so that the ratepayers and our institutions can benefit. So thank you all for your leadership, for your work, and staff, no words need to be said. You all are amazing.
Thank you, Director Abdullahi. Seeing no further speakers, Madam Deputy Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Secretary Acosta?
Yes.
Director Splessy?
Yes.
Katz?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes, approved.
Coates Hedberg?
Absolutely.
Scalzetti?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hilliker?
Yes.
Myers?
Yes.
Rivera?
Yes.
Roback?
Yes.
Heidemann?
Yes.
Norman?
Yes.
Wall?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Powerful, yes.
How many votes was that?
Abdullahi?
A resounding yes.
Ayala?
Yes.
Buckowitz?
Yes.
Douglas?
Yes.
Macedo?
Yes.
Madaffer?
1,000%.
Molina?
Hell yes.
Yes.
Director Lines?
Yes.
Freehawk?
Yes.
Castaneda?
Yes.
Kirschbaum?
Yes.
Arendt?
Of course.
Miller?
Yes.
It should be coming up. It passes. Yeah.
Thank you again, everybody. There being no further business at this time, the Board of Directors meeting will now recess until this afternoon following the Standing Committee meetings. We anticipate being back around 11:45.